God. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. Got a little thought on my heart here tonight I want to share with you. Luke chapter number 12. Jesus in chapter 12 is going to teach us some things that I believe will be helpful and beneficial. I really didn't know what to call the lesson or the message tonight, but I believe just staying on track would be a good title out of Luke chapter 12, and I think you'll understand a little bit later why. The Bible said in verse 1, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And, you know, if you study about leaven and bread, it's something that a little bit of leaven gets in the bread that spreads throughout the lump. It spreads throughout the entire lump. And so Jesus is letting us know that hypocrisy is something that's likely to spread. And the Pharisees were certainly guilty of that. And the Bible said there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, nothing hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which you have spoken in the ear, in closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. In other words, fear God. He's the one we better fear. He said, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. He that denieth me before men shall be not denied before the angels of God. Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, and take no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. One of the company said, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you which taketh thought, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what you shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33, it says, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Verse 32, this is really where the message was birthed in my heart. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, who when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. And then in verse 40 is where we'll wrap it up. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, the reading tonight, Lord, in the book of Luke. Luke, the physician that was used of the Holy Spirit to pen these words down, we might have the record of these many, many things that Jesus said in this chapter. It's our prayer tonight, our Father, that you'll use, Lord, the truths that we're about to magnify to help us as your people to stay on track till the Lord comes and takes us home. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It's been a while since I've seen it in the news, but I remember well, it seemed like there was a couple back to back, pretty close together, where trains jumped the tracks. And speed was the reason. They were going into the curve and for whatever reason, the conductor wasn't paying attention, or maybe he had fallen asleep. I don't remember the details, but the curves were not made to be managed at that speed, and so it caused the train to jump the track. I thought about, as I was preparing for tonight, this prayer meeting, that sometimes I think that we get to running at a breakneck speed, and if we're not careful, we'll meet a curve in the road, and it'll cause us to jump the track. Another thing I thought about was sometimes that what'll get a train off the track is a head-on collision. If you ever see two trains hit one another, they're going off the track. And in life, there are such things as head-on collisions. Everybody don't handle them the same way. And if we're not careful, we'll have a head-on collision with the flesh or with the world or with this system that we live in, with the devil, or head-on collision with some trial, and it'll get us off of the track. I think that sometimes it's just an obstacle. Sometimes cars are trying to beat a train, and the car or the truck is heavy enough when the train hits it. There's enough there to cause the train to derail. I'll say this tonight, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. We have an enemy that would love nothing more than for this pastor or for you or your family to derail and jump the track and not be on the track for the glory of God when Jesus comes. And I've got some things tonight that I want to share with you, and I think it'll be a blessing. I want to observe in this 40 verses here, and I'm not going line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm going to show you a few things tonight, and hopefully that'll help us to stay on the track. The first thing I saw when I looked at this chapter, these 40 verses, I took notice of there's a long, and I call it, for the sake of alliteration, forewarning. God is warning. The word is even used, if you look at verse number, I think, let's see, where is that? In verse 5. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. So God is saying, I've got something here I want to warn you about. Some things here I want to warn you about. There's a warning, first of all, concerning our faith. The Bible said here in verse number 1 that they were to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. In other words, God said, listen, we need to make sure that what we have is real. The faith that we have is real concerning our faith. Brother Rightly Salling, I've said this before, and I believe it's worthy of repeating. He said there's a difference between being whitewashed and washed white. Whitewashed is something that just makes the outside look good, but only washed white in the blood of the Lamb can make the inside look good. And so God said, beware. Then let me give you this. This is how the Lord spoke to my heart. I'm as guilty probably as anybody is right here. But we ought to be forewarned. There's a long, all these verses down through here, all the way down to about, I think, verse number 15. I'm talking about this forewarning, and it's long. But the second thing would be concerning our foolishness. You know, I call them old timers. Men and women that have walked with God, and have you ever heard them say something like that? That's just a bunch of foolishness. How many's ever heard them say something like that? Well, I'm afraid when I read texts like this right here tonight, that at the judgment seat, there will be a lot of things that's just a bunch of foolishness. Amen? And the Bible said here in verse number 2, you say, preacher, well, where did you get that? The Bible said there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in the darkness will be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. So God has given a warning concerning our faith. He's given a warning concerning foolishness and things we say or things we listen to. Then there's a warning concerning our fears. The Bible said here, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that, have no more that they can do. I tell you something right now, that gives God's people a great deal of peace in this generation of terror that we live in. God said, don't be afraid, amen, of them that can kill the body. Listen, I'm not looking for an early ticket here, but if somebody takes my life, that's exactly what it'll be, an early ticket to heaven, amen. I'm going to heaven. Jesus said, don't fear that. He said, you fear me. Fear God. Let us hear, what was it? I think Solomon said, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the conclusion. So concerning our fears, if you go on down, he said, I'll forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God?
Even the very hairs of your head are numbered. That ought to bring about peace, not fear. The Word of God said, perfect love casteth out fear. Okay? And so there's a forewarning that just goes on. And then concerning our field, for the sake of alliteration, I look at verse number 8. He said, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. I believe that every Christian, whether we are obedient or not obedient, is considered by the Master to be in the field that is white unto harvest. And that he does not want us to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He does not want us to be ashamed of him. The Bible said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And so concerning our field, verse 8 down through verse number 10. He that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. I don't have time to go into all that tonight. But basically, you'll find if you study the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, that they're ascribing to Satan the power with which God the Son was working. That's what they were doing. In other words, Jesus would work, and they'd say, you have a devil. You're a Beelzebub. God said, that's dangerous business right there, amen. That'd be like somebody walking the aisle and getting saved, and somebody saying, well, that's of the devil. I'd be real careful. Amen. Or some man standing up to preach the word of God, and somebody saying, well, that's of the devil. I'd be real careful. Amen. Or somebody singing a gospel song and magnifying the Lord. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's dangerous ground to ascribe to Satan what God is doing. Amen. And so, concerning our field, and then concerning our, I called it furnishings. Look at verse number 15. The Bible said here, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So those things that God said they're necessary, clothing is necessary, shelter is necessary, food is necessary, but God is saying don't get too caught up in that. Be like Abraham. Don't drive your tent stakes too deep. Amen. Be ready to move. Be looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, a city which hath foundations. Concerning our furnishings in verse number 15, a lot of people get tied up in that. And I've often said, I think a good way to say it is, there's nothing wrong with having stuff, but there is something wrong with stuff having you. Amen. Nothing wrong with having things. But when things come between us and God, then there's something wrong. We remember Jesus said over, it was recorded in 1 John, I believe, chapter number 2, I believe, where he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We shouldn't love the world. Amen? Neither the things that are in the world. He said, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I remember a story being told about a preacher. One of his ladies said to him one morning, said, you know, preacher, said, you're always preaching on things. And I wish you could preach without preaching on things. He said, well, if you'll come back tonight, I'll try to do something about that. And he took his text on love not the world, neither the, and he emphasized it. Things that are in the world. Amen. I tell you what, them things will get us in trouble sometimes, amen. Sometimes they'll get us in trouble. Good things become bad things when they become between us and the best thing. How many would say amen to that? All right, so the first thing I see here, staying on track, if you'll observe that long forewarning, it'll help us stay on track. And then a lost fool. Watch this. In verse number 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Let me ask you something. How many would believe that? I know this is a parable, but if a man had that much, there's probably somebody in shouting distance that could use a little help. Help me tonight. Amen. God had blessed, and you can't have fruits without God blessing. You can plant apple seeds, but you can't have apples unless God gives you an apple tree. And you can plant mater plants, but you can't have maters unless God. You know, that's like just like the gospel. One man plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. And so we see a lost fool, a man that's just a fool. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? I can't read that verse without thinking of a lady by the name of Lissy Mock. Sister Lissy, I think, was close to 90 years old. She was a blessing. Very, very quiet spoken. She'd sat with a bonnet and a sweater on at 90 degrees. Never did know what an air conditioner or a fan was. I'm being honest with you. You go in her house, she'd be sitting there in a rocker, and she'd 9 out of 10 times have a Bible laying in her lap. One day I stepped on a board on the porch, and I thought I was going to break my neck. And I said, Sister Lissy, I'm bringing some men down here from the church, and we're going to put you a porch on the front of this place. It was nothing more, I mean this from the depths of my heart, than a shack by the road. It had less than what shingles are made out of today. That's what was nailed on the side of it to keep the air out of it. For a long time, she didn't have running water. Then she finally let them put some in the kitchen. But they never did put a bathroom in. It was still that one out there with the half moon crescent in it. Amen. It wasn't Muslim either. And you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Out there in the yard. An outhouse. That's what it was. I said, Sister Lissy, we're going to bring some men down here. And she said, oh, no, preacher. No. No. I said, Sister Lissy, please. I've got men that will help me. We'll get some salt-treated lumber. She said, now, preacher, if you'll patch it up a little bit. She said, I sure would appreciate that. And she said, I've got a pane of glass back here that's broken. If you put that pane of glass in for me, I sure would appreciate that. She said, preacher, we wouldn't want to fix it up too nice. She said, they'll just fight over it when I'm gone. It's not there anymore. It's been torn down. But I really believe she had the right spirit. She enjoyed her Bible every day. She enjoyed her Jesus every day. She enjoyed life. Had a sense of humor you wouldn't believe. Come to church one time, it's about April, end of April, 1st of May. Somebody said, the weather sure is nice, Sister Lissy. She said, it sure is. It's beautiful out there. They said, it's warming up. She said, I know, but the preacher will turn that air conditioner on and make it wintertime again. That's what she said. She wasn't a fool. I believe a lot of people would have looked at her. It said it'd take a fool to live in a place like that. I just believe you'd see her now. Maybe see her at the judgment seat. She'd be so far out there in front of me. Are you listening to me? She stayed on track. When you think about the fools, I didn't call this man a fool. God did. He said, just building up, banking up, doing all you can down here. He said, when your soul's required, what good's it going to do you? What good is it going to do you? We see a long forewarning. We see a lost fool in the chapter. When I look at those two things, it causes me to want to stay on track, don't it you? Stay with the Lord. But then Let's skip down to verse number 32. We could go on, and I guess I'll back up with some of these verses, but I'll give you some things and try to tie it all together here. The next thing I see that makes me want to stay on track is a little flock. Look at verse 32. The Bible said, "Fear not." Then it said this, "Little flock." The Lord, I think, I'm not sure if he rebuked me or corrected me. I had a preacher one time. He said something. And what he said was this. He said, "I pastor a little church." You remember that, Miss Eve? And it was, as if you're going to go at the way mankind looks at things, it was a little church. And I told him, I said, "You know, I'm of the opinion that if Jesus is on the inside, that makes it big." But when I read this, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock." But I don't believe it's so much as saying, well, it's 5 or it's 50 or it's 500 or it's 5,000. In other words, I believe if there were 500 people that love God, were serving God, God might look down and say, "That's one of my little flocks." I believe there was 5,000 people and they loved God and they served God and they were doing the right thing and preaching the right message and singing the right songs, and God was pleased. God on the inside, not like Laodicea on the outside. I don't believe it's the number that caused him to say it was his little flock. I believe it's the identification and the fact that in comparison to the multitudes, remember how it started out? The multitudes, they were running over one another. That's why Jesus said, "Narrow is the way." Listen to me carefully. "Few there be that find it. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life eternal." He said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat." So I believe what our Lord is saying here is not necessarily just about an individual congregation of people, but I believe what he's saying here is comparison to the multitudes on the globe. God still has a little flock in the world that we don't ever need to look to be in the majority in this world as far as this world goes. Because I believe one man plus God makes a majority. Let me ask you this. When Joshua and Caleb went over into Canaan, and they came back and said, more or less, I'm paraphrasing, "God give it to us, let's go get it." How many of them were there? How many were there that said, "Oh, they're giants in the land"? How many? 10. Right? Well, let me ask you something. Who was in the majority? Think about that for just a minute. Joshua and Caleb. Because God was on their side. The rest of them died in the wilderness. Amen? And Israel paid a price for it. But I'm going to tell you, those that were in the majority got to go into Canaan. Amen? Joshua and Caleb got to go. And I praise God. Little flock. He didn't say they were a swarm. He didn't say they were a herd. He didn't say they were a pack. He said, they're a little flock. He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. You remember David, the man after God's own heart, when he was standing before Eliab. And Eliab said, he'd come down there to where the battle had been going on. And Goliath was defying the armies of Israel. And Eliab said to David, he said, with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? You know what I believe God's church is getting to feel like? Just a few sheep in the wilderness. Honey, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Amen. Thank the Lord. He's coming for us. It'll help us to keep on track. If we just think about the little flock. Are you in the little flock? Are you saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood? Are you in the little flock? And then I thought about this. Look in verse 32. This is where the message really swelled up in my heart, is in verse 32. There's a forewarning that'll help us to keep on track. There's a fool, a lost fool, a long forewarning, a little flock. But there's something else here. There's no substitute for this, a loving father. The Bible said here, fear not, little flock, for it is your father's good pleasure. I mean, he's glad he loves us tonight. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You say, what do you see the father doing in this chapter, preacher? Look at verse 22. The Bible said, he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Go on down through. We read the text a while ago. Consider the ravens. Consider the lilies. Can each, any of us, by thinking, add one cubit to our stature? Can we do anything as far as numbering the hairs on our head? Why, no. But I tell you what, God knows. And the Bible said he's the loving father. I see the loving father doing two things. Number one, providing for his children. He said, if God clothed the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? I don't know about you tonight, but I believe if you have lived through a time in your life, some people say it like this, payday to payday, or week to week, or day to day. If you've ever lived through a time in your life like that, I almost believe, well, I do believe, that America was closer to God, that families were closer to God, that churches were closer to God, that pastors were closer to God. It seems like sometimes we get to the place where, well, we forget who's providing. I've even had people boast, not God's people, but I've had people say to me, I go to work. I have this trade. I have this skill. I tell you, that I will get you in trouble. It got Satan in trouble. It'll get you in trouble because God gave you everything that you have and even give you the breath that you breathe. Give you the knowledge that you have. So it's a loving father. I see him providing. But watch this. I think this is a blessing. I see him promising. Look at verse 31. He said, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. What is it Matthew 6:33 says? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. How many believes that tonight? What was it? Was it David that said, I once was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. Elijah was sitting down there by the brook. Elijah couldn't do a thing. It didn't look like to help himself. But I tell you what God did. God sent a raven. Do you believe that? I do too. God strengthened his man. God encouraged his man. I believe with all of my heart he will strengthen us and encourage us. He promised. And then let me give you this, and I'm done tonight. This will help us to stay on track. There's a forewarning, a long forewarning in the chapter. A lost fool, a little flock, a loving father. But the last thing I see here tonight is a lofty future. We're going somewhere, folk. Our future looks good. Somebody said, well, I think the church is going down. Not the one that Jesus bought. Not the one that Jesus paid for. Not the one that's building on the rock of ages. Amen. It's not going down. It's going up. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, there's coming a day. Let me give you this. We ought to be ready. Look at verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. We ought to be ready. We ought to watch. Watch and pray. That's what the Bible said. We ought to be ready for his coming. And then according to the Bible, we're going to be rewarded. Look at verse number 34. We're going to be rewarded then for where your treasure is. There will your heart be also. The Bible talks about moths can't get to it. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The rust can't corrupt it. Thieves can't break forth and steal it. There's going to be a reward for the children of God that have served him in this walk of life. We ought to be ready. We're going to be rewarded. We're blessed now. Look at verse 37 and 38. The Bible said, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. The reward is not only in heaven. Years ago I heard a man say, and I didn't understand it. I was lost at the time. But he said this statement, and I did not understand it. I really did not. He said, if there were no heaven and there were no hell, I'd still rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I didn't understand that. Brother Rose, I didn't know what it was to have peace. I didn't know what it was to have joy. I didn't know what it was to love somebody else more than I love myself. And I could stand here tonight and say, if there were no heaven and there were no hell, I'd still rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. The blessing. Blessed are those servants. It's not just once here. Look in verse 37. It says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Look at verse 38. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. That blesses me tonight. He said, preacher, what's the matter with you? I'm just blessed. You cannot measure the blessings. The Bible said, I thought I'd preach on this a little while back. It may come here directly. He daily loadeth us with benefits. And you could not do any injustice at all to say he daily loads us with blessings. Blessing me again. Blessing me again. The Bible said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of a great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We have a lofty future. We need to be ready. We'll be rewarded. We are being rewarded. But then look at verse 35, and I'm done tonight. We need to be reflecting. What do you mean, Pastor? Look here. Look at verse 35. The Bible said, let your loins be girded about and your lights be burning. And your lights burning. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. How many of y'all know that without Jesus, we don't have a light? But the Bible tells us to let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I believe most of us have heard this. I think I've said it from this pulpit before. Maybe someone hasn't heard it. It's always blessed me. It's a blessed thought. The moon, when you look up and see it at night, it looks like a light. And actually, if it gets full, Brother Jim, you've been in the woods when you didn't have to have a flashlight, haven't you? I mean, you could just walk through the woods and not even need a flashlight. The moon was just so bright. Well, you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? there's no light in the moon. It appears like it's lighting up the night sky, but there's no light in the moon. All the moon ever will be, is a reflection of the sun. In you and I, there is no light. But God intends that we be a reflection of the sun. Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. The Son of God. And I believe with the help of the Bible, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of the exhortation that we receive at church, exhorting one another, that we can stay on track. Amen. And that we can let our light shine. I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe that just a little bit of light might have saved us $120 on the countertop. He said, "What do you mean, preacher?" Well, I pulled up over there yesterday in Johnson City at that place of business. I didn't know this fellow from Adam. Turns out he was the owner. But I just spoke to him. I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Better than I could ever deserve." I looked at him. We're just passing one another on the walk. My wife was with me. I said, "That's what grace will do for you." He said, "Amen." I said, "Amen." There's going to be a special cut on that countertop that's supposed to cost $120. And when I found out that was the owner that I was talking to outside, he left. I told the salesman, I said, "You tell the owner if he gets his heart right, he won't charge me an extra $120 for that cut." I don't know if he told him that or not, Brother Brian, but he said this morning, he said, "The cut's free." Let your light shine. It might be a blessing to somebody. Amen. You say, "Well, I don't like that." Then just give me $120 when the service is over. Amen. And hush. Hush is the kind way of saying shut up, ain't it? Amen. My wife is looking cross-eyed at me right now. Amen. I'm in deep trouble. Amen. But isn't it good to be able to go through life? I wish I could do better. Brother John brought a lesson not too long ago. I wish I could do better. Let my light shine. I really do. I want to do better. I want to be a reflection of His grace. How many wants to stay on track? How many believes God's given us some things here to help us not to derail? Amen. Get off the track. You know something? I just thought of something. Whenever I was a youngin', some of you probably still think I'm a youngin'. What's Brother Larry's last name, honey? Larry and Iris. Last name? Hilton. Larry and Iris Hilton. I love to shake hands with Brother Larry on Sunday mornings because he always says, "Hello, young man." And I always feel like, say that again. But when I was little, when I was young, I had a train set. And there's nothing prettier than a train on the track. I don't remember how it worked, but there was some kind of a little capsule, Brother Brian, that you could drop down in that smokestack on the front of that engine. I don't remember how it worked, but that thing would make a noise and it would shoot smoke up. It was like a soft gel capsule, is what it reminded me of. And it had a stinking odor to it. But anyway, that thing would, nothing prettier than that thing going around the track, around the track, around the track. But you know, boys, They were going to push it to the limit. But it just didn't look the same when it was laying on its side. I like to see trains. I wouldn't want one running through my bedroom the way some people, you know, they live right against the train track. If you do, I'm sorry for you. I don't want that. I can still hear a train. But when you see a train upright, that's one thing. When you see a train derailed, on fire, laying on its side, some of the trains carry hazardous material and whole communities have to be evacuated when a car ruptures. God wants us to stay on the track. Stay upright. Walk with Him. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for being a loving Father. Lord, I can honestly say tonight, if you weren't a loving Father, I wouldn't be here tonight. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy. And Lord, we do thank you that everybody saved is definitely better off than they deserve to be. Lord, even a lost man tonight that's still breathing, still has an opportunity to be saved, is better off than he deserves to be. Thank you, Lord, for taking our judgment in your body on that tree. And I pray, Lord, tonight you'd help us as individuals, help us as families, help us as a church to stay on the track. Lord, help us to watch for obstacles, but help us to watch for our Lord and our Savior who's coming again to be ready. God will give you glory. If there's someone here, Lord, that struggles or doubts with their readiness, their preparedness, I pray, God, some way that victory would break through in their lives and they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are coming, and beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are ready for your coming. In Jesus' name.